Vamos. These incredible bateknes at these incredible shuls. It doesn't take a lot to still hear all the tefillahs that are in these, bouncing off these walls. I grew up, I say this now because I know it's going to be a rush later. I grew up, my father's a child of two survivors, my bubby, Alea Shalom. She jumped off the train on the way to Auschwitz. She was married, she had a kid, gone. My Zayda Shlomo, who I'm named after, was married with two children, all gone. Reasons I'll never be able to understand. They chose Chaim in 1944 when they met. Had my uncle, Alva Shalom, who just died this year. And then my father a few years later in Argentina when they were fleeing from, when they ran away from this horrible place. And many of you know my Abba, my father's a chazan, should be well for many, many more years, Be'ez Hashem. Amen. And there's one part, every Shabbos of my life, from the time I'm a baby, I remember there's one part that my father always cracked down and started crying during davening. When he was chazan, I have an image in my mind, it's my brother and I talk about this all the time, and we don't really sing it often, because for us as well, when we try to sing it, it doesn't go so good. It's one knetch. It's not even really a niggun. It's one knetch. That it reminds me so much of in shuls like this, my father learned it from his father, the Galiziana. Must have sung it with his father. I think his father's name is Reb Shmuel Akarin. In a shul that looked just like this. So much of our tefillahs today, we're trying so hard to hold on to what was once was. And we think we always have to mechadish chidushim all the time. With all the new nigunim coming out today. I shouldn't say nigunim, there are a lot of songs that are coming out today. There are very few nigunim that are coming out today. Baruch Hashem, my brother doesn't write songs, he writes nigunim. He doesn't write them, he receives them. But there's this one nigun I want to sing. I'm going to try to sing this. This is what my father grew up singing from his father. From here, from these streets. It's a good siman, we already cracked. This is what, usually it takes much longer to rip a string. It's okay, the strings of the heart have been ripping minute by minute here. Another string. So my father would always bring in the Sefer, take out the Sefer Torah. Right before he put it on the bima for Kriyas HaTorah. This is from before the war. Yeshua hard to imagine what kind of tefillah was right here. But if we have to try to imagine, it's not so hard. We don't have to use our imagination that hard. Because Baruch Hashem, Rebbe has brought us right to here. It's like half of us live here in these places all year long with all the stories we hear. So just on tefillah, to mechazek, the mincha that we're going to have, we're going to daven now. So to mechazek our tefillah, that this mincha of Wednesday, of Yom Revi, should be a mincha, a real mincha. So I heard that last night there were by the Ropshitzer, they had a... Snagit came into the Ropshitzer, he saw him, he had a big taina on him. He said, how could it be that right after davening, I look at you, and you run to have some kind of mezainah, or l'chaim. After I daven, I start learning mishnayos. You go and have l'chaims. How could it be? So the Ropshitzer said to him, I don't know if it was like the highest yichud in the milsa, the b'dichusa. He said to him, you know, you, when you daven, after you daven, you feel like, mamish, you davened. You're so proud of how strong you davened. But that kind of a davening is a dead davening. So what does someone do after someone dies? What do you do? And the shnayis. He said, by me, after I daven, I don't think I could, I don't even know if I could still last, if I could even be alive. I don't know if there's anything left of me. So I run to have a bissel mezainus, shtekel l'chaim, just to make sure that I could still be here in this world. You know, it's funny, it's a funny story, but there's something so fundamental. Understanding bichlal, what the kavana of the tefillah is. Like Rebbe always speaks about checklist Yiddishkeit. How many checklist minchas do we have all year long? But a lot of those checklist minchas, it's kind of like probably you're going to run to learn Mishnayos afterwards. Chas v'sholom, not knocking, learning Mishnayos. You understand what I'm saying? But there's got to be a level of tefillah that's much, much more than that. And to give us chizak, to give us koyach, to feel that we have a chance, we have a chance to really daven, to really talk to Hashem. So the story is that this should give us a lot of chizuk, to feel like we have a chance to understand even what the Ropshitzer was saying. There's a... Alexander says this story. Henochel Alexander gives over this story because he gives edus as to what happened. That one late at night, probably close to the Sofas Man. You just imagine this, Reb Simcha Bunim is sitting there and he's learning with the Chiddush HaAnim. And he's learning with Reb Mendel Kotzker. And the third one, the youngest one, was Reb Henochel Alexander. He was there too. And Alexander, when he tells over the story, he says, I want you to know word by word what happened. Because I think it's the first time I ever davened was after what happened when the Reb Simcha Bunim realized it's time, we got to daven now before it's too late. So Reb Simcha Bunim gave a clap. He said, might have. So Reb Simcha Bunim went into his own chamber, davened alone. And Alexander said, he felt so not roy. He felt like he felt the youngest out of these gdolim. He didn't really feel that he could really, really daven, especially in their presence. So he said, you know, it's a great time right now to go and learn how to daven. I'm going to go look at Reb Mendel Kotzke. I'm going to go look at Reb Chaimer, and I'm going to learn from them how to daven. So he goes, he peeks in the corner by the Chiddush HaAnim. Says he saw him davening, the swing, the literal body movements, and it's fast. He got right into it. It was not too long of Zman, it wasn't Zman for Achanis. Went right to it. And he saw such passion, such movements, that some of us wish we see people davening like that. And we always say, we wish we could do that for real when no one's looking. You know, those kind of moments, when no one's looking. And he looked at himself, he said, I could never do that when no one's looking. That's not me. That's not me. He walked away pretty tzabrochen. He said, let me go see how Reb Mendel Kotzker is davening. So in Reb Mendel Kotzker, it took him 20 minutes after he would finish davening to even remember where he was. That's where Reb Mendel Kotzker was when he was davening. So he said that he went to go see the Kotzker, and he looked from behind. He didn't look like the Kotzker was davening bichlam. One knows the famous story about the ocean of tears. He said that he saw Reb Mendel wasn't moving, but the closer he got to Reb Mendel Kotzker, the floor got more and more slippery from the tears that were coming down to Reb Mendel Kotzker while he was davening. He said to himself, did I ever shed one tear when I was davening? Who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? But it was Zman, he had to daven, so he went to his corner. And he said, Eivishter, he said, Rebbeinu Shleilam, you and I know we're not going to have to start pretending anything right now. But how could it be that I've never, ever, ever even understood what it means to say, Baruch Atah Hashem? How could it be that I don't even know what to think about when I say the words Umavir Yaim and Mevi Laila? How could it be? I don't understand it all. I can't accept going through another tefillah. It kills me without understanding what I'm really saying. Please let me understand what I'm saying so I could start davening. And with that, he went into Ma'ariv. When they got back together afterwards, continued learning a bit more. So the story is that Reb Henichel says, Reb Simcha Bunim looked at the Ger Rebbe, Chiddush Yarnim, he says, Itchemayer, you know, reporting back from what was going on. Itchemayer. Strong. Mendel. Very, very powerful. Oh, Henichel. Do you even have any idea the gate that you opened for so many people that also wish they understood what they were saying when they were davening? Henichel, you opened that gate. So I feel that for many of us, that Alexander gate is really the shah that through which we don't even know that it exists, but he opened it for us. So we should never ever walk out of a tefillah and say, shh, I davened, be a rupshitzer, reyach in our tefillah. But even if that's not there yet, the Alexander provided for us the gates so that we could stand before the Borei Olam and Pashut be real. Just be real. And pretend that no one's looking at us. That only ki ayin be'ayin, you know, it's only the eyes that are looking at us from above. And b'schus de all our tefillahs, we should gather, fly on the wings of tefillahs that were in this room. I'll come finish Sharon, take this all with you as we fly home to Yerushalayim tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
So we're going to dive into later. We have buses. I didn't realize the time. It's a little bit late, a lot late. So we're going to go right now to the trams. We're going to take us to the public Beis Akise, public bathrooms, and then we'll drive past Schindler and go. I know.